What's happening, everybody? This is Ryan here for The Scallop Show. I have Jeffrey Gittimer from Buy Gittimer today. Man, this guy has done a lot over the last 25 years. His 13 best-selling books, like The Little Red Book of Selling, has spoken over 2,500 corporate events, okay? Crazy, crazy things that he is doing, that he's done. The exact, basically, testament of consistency over a long period of time equals results. So we get into selling. We get into what people are doing today, what they're not doing today, how to advance it, the impact that AI is having. You are not going to want to miss this. Look forward to seeing you in there. Check it out.
How do you grow like a VC-backed company without taking on investors? Do you want to create a lifestyle business, a performance business, or an empire? How do you scale to an exit without losing your freedom? Those are the questions, and this show is the answer.
Welcome, everybody, to the Scale Up Show. This is your host, Ryan Staley, and I have a very special guest with me today. I have Jeffrey Gittimer from Buy Gittimer. For those of you that don't know him, I've had the pleasure to get to know him from being on his show, and at the same time, he's going to be on here. I mean, he's done some amazing things. For the past 25 years, he's had 13 best-selling books, ranging from The Little Red Book of Selling to The Sales Bible to The Little Gold Book of Yes. He's spoken at over 2,500 corporate events. And at the same time, he's helped shape the concept, the voice, and implementation of the new sale. Jeffrey, welcome. Happy to have you on the show, man.
Thank you very kindly. I have to tell you that when you mentioned the name of my company, I sat in a diner 30 years ago with a branding guy. And he said, what do you want to call the company? And I said, I want to call Buy, B-U-Y. So when somebody calls up, you go, Buy, on the phone.
Love that.
And he said no, and he took a napkin and he wrote "Buy Gittimer."
Oh,
and
really?
That was it. Yeah, because my whole expression is people don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. And so, buy has always been my sort of watchword. Whatever I do, the opposite. That's how I've made a name for myself in selling. Whatever somebody says, it's normally full of shit, and then I say it my way, and then they go, oh. So somebody says, well, you need to cold call. Oh, really? You want a cold call or do you want a referral? Well, I'd like a referral.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you cold calling for? Why doesn't you, if you're going to block time out to make a bunch of cold calls, why don't you block the same amount of time and go build relationships so you can earn referrals?
Love that, man.
Hello.
It's funny how often that gets missed with people. Like I'm a big advocate of referrals. I've helped companies implement like referral-led growth systems in their business. And sometimes it's as simple as just reshifting the focus and priority from cold to referable business. And it's mind-blowing just how much better. You'll even have people be like, well, how do I ask for a referral, right? Which is
exactly
so simple. And usually it's that simple. It's just asking at the right time, right?
Well, let's look at it another way. What's the best way to get a referral? And the answer is give one.
Mm-hmm.
And you create all kinds of cosmic debt that the other person needs to feel like they have to match you. So, you know, I don't want to ask. I want to earn.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I've and it's not just referral. I think it's unexpected, unique help, right? So give a referral, help them unexpectedly that's customized to them. And then you're right. It's automatically, it goes back to like how we were built tribally for survival as cavemen and cavewomen as we were walking around, right? Because of the fact that you feel in debt and want to stay a part of the community. So the response when you do that is like, okay, well, how can I help you now? What can I do for you, right? Which
is
amazing.
So let's look at real estate people who already know everything. Have you ever met any of those? They already know everything.
Oh, I've met people and I haven't worked with a lot of real estate agents. I got fortunate because my dad did some real estate part time. So I never really had to work with a cold.
Let me throw something at you. They sell a home for $500,000. And they send you a postcard that says, welcome to your new home. By the way, I run my business on referrals. So if you know anybody, please, you know, like seriously, you idiot. Why don't you throw a housewarming party, have them invite their 20 best friends. You cook the hot dogs and hamburgers, and there's 20 referrals right in the room. Right in the room.
Yeah, that's so sage. It's so simple. And 99.9% of people do not do that, without a doubt.
Because they're stupid. because they're stupid. I think Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, never underestimate the stupidity of the American people. And it spills over into sales, unfortunately, way more than it should because of traditions. Ask for the referral, make a cold call, close the sale, overcome objections. All the dumb things that salespeople have been doing for 100 years are finally coming to roost through, number one, online anything, a Zoom meeting. Number two, AI, obviously. And number three, the world is now a hell of a lot more educated about what is and what isn't based on internet availability. So I don't need to go in and do a, quote, discovery call. Like, seriously? If you can't discover what's going on before you get into the call, you're an idiot or you're lazy or both.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'll get a call from somebody. I'll get a call from somebody trying to sell me something. And I say, have you Googled me? And they go, well, no. I said, well, then never call me again as long as you're alive. Well, what do you mean? I said, you're a lazy ass salesperson.
Yeah.
How long does it take to go, Jeffrey Gittimer, return? How long does that take?
Yeah, it's not hard, man. It's not hard. It's mind-blowing. I've seen that with interviews. I've seen that with calls. But I want to shift gears a little bit because there's a lot I want to talk about with you today. And I know we got a tight window of time, right? Okay. So one of the things that I absolutely love about your history is, you know, if I'm doing the math, you've recorded 1,124 podcasts, right? You have all those books. You've done 100 corporate events per year. Is that right? About 100 a year?
I used to do, before COVID.
Okay.
I was doing between 75 and 100.
Wow.
And I just scaled it back for myself because I'm trying to do AI and you can't be on the road and build another form of your business.
Dude,
it's one or the other.
So true. Okay. So let's break that into two chunks, right? Because I want to talk about the AI piece. As you know, I'm semi-obsessed with it, right? In a healthy and unhealthy way. But for you, let's talk about, like, I want to ask and unpack, like, what drove you to create that consistency and efficiency over time? And then, like, how did you do it? Because I think that's one of the things that many people are struggling with is building a long-term sustainable success path, whether it be within revenue, whether it be building a business. So we'd love to hear, you know, how you did that, how you orchestrated it. And then let's get into the AI piece second, is the second piece.
Cool. The first thing I did is I never made a sales call. Sales calls are stupid, and they're generally, well, do you have 5 minutes? Do you have a budget for a speaker? I'm real good. People love me. What I did instead was took every social platform that I had, posted testimonial videos, and posted valuable information that people could use. And when you post valuable information, they ping you. They go, do you have any more of this? Can you speak at public events? You know, what do you do? And that dialogue creates revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2,500 sales presentations that I've made to corporations or in public, I never made a sales call ever because they're intrusive. You're going to cold call somebody that doesn't really want to talk to you. They already have what you have, and you're trying to worm your way in, and you sound like a fool. So if I go into a corporate CEO's office, I'm not going to give them my business card. I'm going to give them a signed little red book of selling.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you think has more power?
Yeah.
So salespeople operate from a scarcity mentality. You know, I have a quota. I got to do $100,000 this month. I need 10 sales in order to do that. And it's the end of the month and they still need two more sales and they've got two more prospects. That guy's never going to come through ever, ever, ever. If you don't have 22 prospects, you're not going to get two. And so they don't work hard enough. They're watching Netflix and drinking a beer or maybe wine, which is worse from California, which is even worse, worse. I only drink wine that has the word France on the label or maybe Oregon Pinot.
Oregon Pinot's good, man. Willamette Valley's got some good stuff. Like,
it's the best.
Like, have you had, Domain Serene at all?
Mm-hmm.
I like Domain Serene. Like that Evanstead Reserve is pretty solid. Why are you laughing?
We can get into it. No, we can, there's because all the Oregon Pinot wine came from France.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes
sense. They took all the grapes. Yeah. And I'm a Francophile from way, way back. So I only drink wine really when I'm in France because they don't put any of the preservatives or any of the other crap in there. It tastes great. If I lived in France, I'd be an alcoholic.
Okay. Well, let's get back on track, right? So we got, so basically what you're saying is you just very simply, you posted testimonials, you posted valuable information or provided that,
right.
Which is funny, Matt, because like literally I just went through this yesterday. I have collected a bunch of testimonials, right? And for some reason, I'm not a natural promoter with that. I don't know if I look at it as bragging or whatnot, but sharing that. So I've made it a priority to start doing that and sharing other stories because it's one of those things. It's not
when you say it about yourself, it's bragging, but when other people say it about you, it's proof.
Yeah, it's true, man. Very, very true, dude. Very true. So, all right. Well, so that's the core element of it, right?
The core element is I post value literally every day. And as a result, my phone rings.
And how much content do you post every day across all platforms?
A little. We have a virtual assistant team in the Philippines of 60 people.
No way.
They don't write anything for me, but they post what I want them to write. And I have a guy that breaks down my podcast, and he'll post that online all over the place. So I don't do the grunt work, but I hire the grunt work to be done.
Okay.
They never write one word. I write every word. Or I speak every word. There's authenticity involved in that. And you know, we schedule stuff. I have a person who breaks down all my stuff and here's the gem, here's the gem, here's the gem. If you read my books, there's full page quotes in there. Those full page quotes become tweets. They become LinkedIn messages. They become, you know, social media things. And then I'll, my podcast, talk to smart people like you. And that becomes an ability for me to break that down into 1 minute, 2 minute clips and put it all over the place.
Yeah.
But I've been doing it for years, Ryan. And the challenge with that is there's a consistency factor. You can't do it once a week and win. You just can't. And you can't do it every day and then skip a week. It just doesn't work that way. You have to be consistent. And I'm on every platform, TikTok, Instagram, you name it. Because you never know where your customer is going to come from. Well, I only use LinkedIn. That's because you're an idiot if you only use LinkedIn. Or you're lazy. Or you're not hiring anybody you're not delegating well.
Yeah.
So those platforms are out there and they're basically free still.
So let me ask you this, man. So what are you, we don't need to spend a ton of time on this, but what are you seeing? Are you seeing solid results with TikTok?
No.
No. What do you see the best results with in terms of platforms then?
Right now, LinkedIn is still the business platform. Probably Facebook is second. But kids don't use Facebook.
Yeah.
They use Instagram.
Yeah.
So, and I only have like 20,000 followers on Instagram. So it's not my main thing. But I post a lot of videos and I post some selfies. It's kind of fun to do. And it's amazing who will say something about your stuff. You know, the Instagram knows how to post your stuff up online. They have algorithms for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get lead guitar players or I'll get classical piano players because I've looked at 10 of them before. So the 11th one is going to be, somebody great. And it's kind of fun to watch how that works. And that tells you how you need to do stuff. How'd they get this? Don't ask how they did it. Duplicate it. And, put things out there that are relatively viral that people want. I want to watch Steph Curry make three pointers. Who doesn't? I don't know. But I do. So I'm looking at it. And then all of a sudden, there'll be a Larry Bird thing that pops up. Or there'll be, some other kind of basketball thing. And I'm thinking to myself, okay. There's a category, and the category has to be asking questions or closing sales or going to a networking meeting. And those are the things that Instagram is going to pick up on, and it'll also be viral on Facebook. It'll also, people search for things on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Be part of the search.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot with video moving forward, especially with how easy it is to create written content. Now, video is getting better at that, but I think video is going to keep surfacing up. I just got a notice from LinkedIn the other day, too, about that. They're saying that there's higher demand for LinkedIn video or video on LinkedIn. These are some tips. I don't know if you saw that, too, but literally just got that.
Yeah, but the best thing to do, there's an easy tip. Make it short, make it valuable.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about your lighting. You don't need to worry. You just, if Elon Musk makes a video, no one gives a shit about the lighting. Yeah, did you see that lighting? No, he's talking about the future of mankind. So, you know, you have to be in the, you have to understand your subject matter and present gems, and people will pass it on to somebody else.
Yeah.
You have to post something that's so valuable that someone hits the forward button or the share button and it goes to somebody else. That's the whole deal.
Yeah. Very, very true, man. Hello, this is Ryan here. Real quick, if you are enjoying this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a comment or review. If you want more help or just want to learn more about what the top SaaS CEOs and founders are doing, check out my website at www.ryanstaley.io. Join my newsletter, check out other free content resources I have there, and let me know if you want to scale your business. Now back to the episode. All right. Well, let's shift to AI because that is something that, as you know, I love to talk about. Right. And I know you have massive amounts of content, books, podcasts that you've done and information. So how are you looking at ways to leverage that in conjunction with AI?
I'm looking for a company, and I think I found two of them potentially, that can put all of my stuff into one hopper. So that a salesperson can pop on for 20 or 30 bucks a month, maybe 40 bucks a month, and ask me questions. Jeffrey, I'm going to make this cold call. What do I do? What's the best way to make it? Should I make it? I'm going into a sales presentation. What's the first question I should ask? I need to close this sale. What's the best way to close the sale? And I'll have all that information. I've millions of words written, millions of words spoken. And the key to Instagram is not to have some fancy schmancy program. The key to Instagram is content.
Mm-hmm.
If you have content, you're going to win. If you don't have content, you're not going to win. Just that simple. But the opposite of that is I want to have content. I want to get content. So, you know, the companies that I'm working with, they want my content because they know. And I'm sure you've heard the expression, content is king. And I've amassed over the course of the last 30 years a ton of content. And AI can now figure it out, what it is, where it goes, compartmentalize it, play it on demand, put it in a, I mean, it's, what it can do is more than amazing. And as far as I'm concerned, Ryan, we're primitive in AI. We're in the stone age of AI.
Agreed.
But people are going to look at ChatGPT as coming over on the Mayflower and not having any cars when you get here. We're in the beginning stages of it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're going from, I mean, and I just wrote a post on this the other day where I think, like, you know, basically the purpose of ChatGPT from OpenAI, why they're releasing it. Yeah, they were going to monetize it, but they really just wanted the data, like we just talked about, right? So they wanted the training data on how people are going to use it. Then they created the GPT store to see, like, which were the most valuable GPTs based on usage and distribution. They're taking the training data from that and the prompts, and they're effectively creating agents from it, which they're going to deploy in the next phase in GPT-5 or, you know, shortly thereafter.
They were the pioneer. They did it first. And you have to give them credit for what they've done. But there's 1,500 AI platforms right now, and there'll be 10,000 in the next couple of years. So it's going to have to keep up as well. And if you have longevity, you know, I started my LinkedIn in 2008 with 10 followers. So now I have 30,000 connections and 60,000 followers. So I'm at a solid 100,000 people that get my messages. And I've connected with other people who have big followings, and I can merge my stuff with their stuff. I'll join their club, I'll get on their mailing list, whatever. And it works. It works. But you can't watch Netflix at night and think you're going to get anywhere. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Now, I've had a tough day at work. I'm going to have a glass of whatever, drink of whatever. You're an idiot. Somebody's going to pass you by. This is your time. Invest time in yourself and your business so that you can reap the reward, not make the payment.
Yes, I agree. We're in the middle of one of those shifts, right? So there was effectively, I don't know, man, this is going to date me. Go back to college where email was like just released and brought out, right? Internet started to speed up. So that was phase one. Actually, before that was the personal computer. So then you got that. Then you got email and like the internet. And then after that, you got mobile, right? So we went from flip phones to smartphones. And then you got social, right?
Just look at the evolution of the phone. There were no programs. There were no apps. You just had a phone with a number and you could only store 25 numbers in it. That was a big deal. You could store other people's numbers. Oh my God, that's amazing. Now you can have 1,000 people in your contact list, more. And you can broadcast anything. You wake up in the morning and it's the first device you look at. Well, I don't look at my phone right away. You know what? You're an idiot. Your phone has all the messages on the planet. Yeah, but I don't want to subject myself. You're a fool. You're going to lose to someone who does. So you have to decide where you want to invest your time.
Yeah, so true, man.
Let me give the audience one shot here. There's three uses of time. Waste, spend, invest. Two are bad.
So how do you choose how to invest your time then?
I devote the first hour of the day to me. I read. I write, I prepare, and that causes me to think and create. Mm-hmm. I've done those five things for the last 30 years, and I have 17 books, and most people don't. Most people can tell you what the weather is. I look out the window.
So read, write, think, prepare, and then what was the fifth one? I only got four.
Create.
What's that?
Create.
Oh, yes, create. Yeah, I mean, that's when, I don't know, I look at things a little different. Like I notice I do the best when I prepare the night before, because then my brain processes at night, and when I'm up, I'm ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
But I take time too, just sitting like basically, I don't know, processing what I've thought, what I'm doing in the morning. First thing when I wake up, I meditate too. I love that, man. It's a really good time when it's quiet and there's no one else around and you're alone with your thoughts, you know?
I'm with the Napoleon Hill Institute. We have a 5:30 in the morning meditation class.
Oh, cool.
5:30 a.m. I'll send you the link to it. Try it out one time.
Yeah, definitely, man.
It's really I'm done at 6:30 and I got 2 hours before anybody else even wakes up.
I usually get up at 5:15, 5, and then go to a 6 a.m. workout during the week, and then but it's funny. Well, first of all, I love Napoleon Hill. I love Think and Grow Rich. I love all the concepts discussed in that book. Some really brilliant things within there that have stood the test of time that are evergreen, right? So absolutely awesome. But yeah, I'd love to check out that link.
Over my shoulder here is a blue book. It's the first edition of Napoleon Hill's book, How to Sell Your Way Through Life. It's the best book ever written on selling, and I'm making a course around it. With the Napoleon Hill Institute. It's phenomenal.
Really? That's so cool, man. It's funny because I have never heard of that book. I've heard of his other books like Outwitting the Devil. I've heard of that book. So, or the other book, I should say, Think and Grow Rich.
You can't buy a first edition of that book for under $5,000.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well,
you can look at one.
Give me the number one reason why you think it's the best book ever written on sales.
Because he defines what constitutes a master salesperson. And there's 28 elements, all of which will piss you off. I'm going to have one course just around those 28 elements.
Okay.
But it is all about how healthy you are to start out with and how fit you are to start out with. Because if you're not healthy and you're not fit, you're going to suck. You're going to walk into some place overweight. You're going to walk into some place sleepy or dopey, and you're not going to be able to perform at your best level. He knew what it took. And this book is 1939. So it's a matter of really having the understanding of how old things are really new.
Yeah.
I tell people for years, if you want to learn something new, pick up a book that's 100 years old.
Well, you know, that's Tony Robbins talks about that. You know, Tom Brady talks about that. He treated his body like a temple. That's how he was able to last so long in sports. LeBron James has got, I think, 8 different trainers associated, or basically coaches associated with his health, or professionals on his team. So yeah, if you want to withstand the test of time and have the energy levels to do amazing things, it does not surprise me that that's element number one. But it's funny, you're right though, because like in 1939, like there was so many unknowns with health and how people treated themselves that, like, I mean, cigarettes.
Unknowns of the economy, unknowns of everything.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I don't want this audience to misinterpret me. I will eat a Milky Way every once in a while because I have to. And it's, you know, the discipline to a point, but you also have to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, you got
to
live a little. You got to live a little. I totally agree with that. So there is the balance of that. So let's talk about, like, you know, moving forward. I want to take a step back and look at basically, you know, all those conversations that you've had, all those corporate trainings, all those interactions, those books you've written. What would you say is the number one thing, or maybe it's the top three things that the top 1% do in sales that make them better than anyone else?
Well, first of all, they love what they do. If you don't love what you do, you're going to walk into everything half-assed.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, they have a great attitude. If you don't know what you do and you have a great attitude, you're going to lose. The third thing is you have to believe that you work for the greatest company in the world, yet you have the greatest products in the world, that you're the greatest person in the world, that you can differentiate yourself from your competition, and in your heart, you believe that the customer is better off having purchased from you. You believe that core set when you very first start, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to give a demo. Well, I mean, demos are not bad, but you don't have to give a whole history of, you know, we have the best product in the world and our customers love us. Bullshit. Have social proof so you don't have to deal with that crap. And send the customer all of your testimonials and all your social proof the night before. Even send them your slides the night before. And just spend the morning talking about them. And you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But salespeople think they have to make a pitch. You don't. They already know what you got. Yeah, you're selling appliances. It's a refrigerator. Does it have a door? Yes, it does. Does it make ice? Yes, it makes 32 cubes every minute and a half. Like, who cares? They're all the same. The question is, how do they use it? Because if some people don't want ice. Why are you bragging to me about your ice maker if you haven't even asked me, do you like ice?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you use ice every day? Because some people don't.
So true, man. Well, I got one last question for you, and then we got to wrap. So
okay.
Where, especially with the introduction of AI and everything that's happening, where do you see the future of profession of sales, specifically as it relates to AI's impact on it, what's going to happen, how the role is going to change? We'd love your thoughts on that.
It's so interesting that people post up that AI is going to eliminate salespeople. No, AI is going to eliminate shitty salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And the good ones will capture it, take advantage of it, use it in everything that they do, and be able to provide value to their customer in a way that's higher than ever before. And they're going to leverage that into a win. You know, it's a changing world. Either adapt to it or die. You know, I have a podcast that's got 3 million downloads. The name of the podcast is Sell or Die. those are your options. There's no second place for sales. It's you either win or you have nothing. And so it's the same with AI, the same with anything that you do in the world, the same with your social platform. What's your footprint? Do you have 1,000 Twitter followers or do you have 100,000 Twitter followers? Which? Because they're, you can, and don't buy them, please. Don't be an idiot. But I think you understand that there are levels of competency, and the more competent you are, the more you'll be compensated for your efforts.
Love that. All right, man. Well, I think that's a perfect note to end on. Where can people find you? Where can they find out more about your books by Gittimer?
Yeah, just go to Gittimer.com. Gittomer.com. Everything's there.
Well, Jeffrey, it was awesome having you on the show, man. It's awesome to have gotten to know you through this process as well. So thanks for being on, man. It was a blast.
My pleasure. Let's play again.
Sounds good. And we will see you all on the next episode.
Thank you for checking out the Scale Up Show. My mission in life is to help founders and revenue leaders avoid all the pain and suffering in revenue growth so they can flip it and create a life of their own design. So if you enjoyed this show, please like, review, share it on social, and more importantly, just share it with a friend. Share it with someone that you think could learn and benefit from what you heard on today. But the more we get the message out, the more people we could help, the bigger the impact we make, and the bigger the community gets, which helps everybody. So once again, thank you for being a loyal listener. I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.